Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God. I got a reason to serve the Lord. Amen. He is our revelator. He is the rock of ages, the light in our salvation. He is the help in the time of trouble. He's King of kings. He is our provider, Jehovah Jireh. Come on, a wheel in the middle of the wheel. He is our doctor. pastor. He's our lawyer. He's our teacher. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let us pray. Let us pray. Let us pray. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. We thank and praise our God this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. For what he has done this morning. He woke us up in our right mind. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are on the air with Apostle Carolyn McNeil this morning. Reign of Glory Revival Ministry. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many know that God is so good to us? Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let us pray. Oh, Father God, we come, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you, we lift you up, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We come to exalt your holy name, God. We come to lift you up, God. We come, hallelujah, to bless you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. So, Father God, as we come this morning, Lord God, look, Koro, Mustan, the Holy Ghost, we come to seek your face this morning for a word from heaven this morning, Lord God. We ask, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you will bless every household that's represented here, Father God, in the name of Jesus. As you are taking the gospel far and near, Father God, I pray, God, today, Lord God, that we, oh, yes, Holy Ghost, will open up our hearts and open up our minds, open up our spirit to receive the word of the Lord. Now, God, let me decrease that the power of God may increase on this morning. God, in the name of Jesus, God, I pray for your wisdom. I pray for knowledge, and I pray for a greater understanding of your word, Father God, in the name of Jesus. So, Father God, we just praise and to give you honor and to give you the glory, Father God. We bless you, and we bless you, we bless you. And we say thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you are doing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord. This morning, we know that we've been in our series, amen, of the seven churches. But this morning, praise God, we want to go to the persecuted church. The church at Smyrna. The crushed church. And I'm going to read a little bit, and then I'm going to go to the scripture just to give you a little background of what the Lord is saying today. We're taking a look at the church of Smyrna. The church of Smyrna is, if they look at what the revelatory part of it is, the crushed church. Glory to God. I'm going to ask everybody to turn with me to the book of Revelation. We want to continue on today looking at the question, what does God think? Here in Revelation 1, we find a disciple, John, is living on the isle off of the coast of Turkey. And the writing has to be somewhere in 95 A.D., some 65 years after Jesus had died and resurrected. He is given a vision of Christ, and Jesus gives John a message in chapter 2 and 3 and for the seven churches of Asia Minor. The area we know today to be Turkey. Jesus has a word of encouragement and a word of rebuke for these churches. And we want to look at these churches to see what the message God might have for us today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Last week, we looked at the church of Ephesus, and it was a careless and a loveless church, a church, an active working church, as well as a taught church. Thank you, Lord Jesus. A weathered church. They had hard-faced trials. Yet it was a church that was faced a rebuke. We often look at the large, active church as a healthy church. But often they are not. Jesus told the church at Ephesus they had lost, and we want to make sure that we are always more concerned about who we are in our heart than just being concerned about what we do. Today we move on to look at the second church. The church of Smyrna, it was a crutch church and a grounded church. Come on, I want to talk about that crown as well. Oh, my God, I say thank you, Lord Jesus. They have faced trials and offered trials after trials faithfully. They faced so many trials, and they went through what they had to go through. And so they received commendation from the Lord. And today we look at the church. We gain some insight and perspective into how God feels when we suffer. Let's read the message the church has today. Let's go to Revelations 2 through 15, the persecuted church. He says, and to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things say the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. He said, I know your works, tribulation and poverty. But you are rich, he says. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan, he says. My God. This is Jesus speaking. He said, a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which are about, or you about to suffer, he says. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, he said. And you will have tribulation 10 days. He said, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life, the crown of church. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And he who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Now Jesus is writing to the churches. He tells them, glory to God, you a church, and I know that you're suffering. I know that you're suffering relation. I know that you're suffering poverty. I know, amen, praise God, glory to God, that there is a synagogue of Satan. I know those things already, and you're going to suffer some things for my sake, he says. The church at Smyrna faced great trials. The city of Smyrna is the second of the seven churches addressed, probably because it was the next city on the route the messenger would be taken in traveling through Asia Minor. Historians tell us that Smyrna was the most beautiful city in all Asia. The city was referred as the flower of Asia, the crown of Asia, or the jewel of Asia. Smyrna had one of the safest and most convenient harbors in all Asia. And anybody know, praise God, what it's like to go to a harbor? A lot of us know about Baltimore Harbor, glory to God. But this is nothing like Baltimore Harbor. It's nothing like, glory to God. But this church, amen, is on a beautiful land. And glory to God, they said it was so beautiful. The city was among the wealthiest of all the cities of Asia at this time. And an estimated population, glory to God, approaching maybe 100,000 people. The city still exists today. This modern name is more. The name Smyrna actually comes from the word mirth. When you think about the Magi, as they bore gifts to Jesus, they brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. Myrrh is a perfume that was used in an embalming process. Glory to God. It was a perfume that only gave off the fragrance when it was crushed. Hey, korobosia. Yes, God. Hallelujah. How many know, praise God, when we are being crushed? My God, there's an aroma that comes from us because God knows, amen, praise God, that he's squeezing us, amen. It's just like the press, amen, the crushed church. History tells us that the city of Smyrna endured earthquakes. They endured attacks. They endured raising numerous oppression, and it it was a possibility, amen, that it could happen. They saw it. Glory to God. No matter how many times they was oppressed, they always seemed to rebound better than they were before economically. They fit their name well crushed, but sweeter for it. But as we will see today, the crushed, the church also was crushed. But it was their persecution. They gave off the sweet aroma for Christ. And Paul writes in 2 Corinthians that what our lives should be like. For we are to God aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing, and to the one who are the smell of death, to others the fragrance of life. These Christians at Smyrna gave a great aroma of Christ through their lives. And the city of Smyrna was filled with idol worship, and there was temples, and glory to God, all kinds of temples, even the temple of Zeus, and it was always a political center. And we know that the political center, glory to God, even now, praise God, and glory to God, think about, I want you to take your mind, amen, praise God, and in this time right now, it is strongly supported by Rome, and worship the Roman Empire. The emperor worship started a token way of unifying the Roman Empire through alliance with the emperor. But under later emperor, it was presented that the emperor was to be worshipped as divine. They wanted to take the place of Jesus to worship an emperor, to worship a man, to worship. We have to be careful what we worship. My God, I give them. To refuse to worship at the emperor's shrine was to be seen as an act of treason, the crime of betraying one's country, especially by attempting to kill the sovereign or overthrow the government. They were convicted of treason. Every citizen had to offer a tribute of worship at the temple of Caesar once a year. And after that, they could worship any other god, little G-O-Ds, or god he chooses. The Christian at Smyrna was persecuted. They refused to compromise and say Caesar is God. Oh, my God. In the church at Ephesus, there was a mention of the Nicolaitans. Remember on last week, amen, praise God, many scholars feel these were Christian who excused a compromise, claiming to follow Christ, but also being willing to sacrifice and say Caesar is God. That's like you saying God is God, and then my money is a god, or the person is God. We take the place of some things, amen. We have to be careful what we call our God. Your business could be your God. Your car can be your God. Come on, somebody. My God, I give him glory. Glory to God. We can worship man as being our God, but God is the only one. That's why he let them know, praise God. Hallelujah. What God are we going to serve today? Caesar is God. They wanted Caesar to be God. Many Christians could today feel that they can come to church on Sunday and worship God and then go home and live for Satan all week long. Not the Christian at Smyrna. My God, I saw the Holy Ghost, y'all. My Sokuna Dabasia. They took a stand for what was right, and they paid dearly for it. How many know that you're going to pay dearly, glory to God, for serving the Lord Jesus Christ? You're going to pay dearly from your neighbors and your family because you want to serve the Lord the right way. You're going to pay dearly, amen, praise God, because the word, you put God before anything else. Sometimes, praise God, people don't understand, glory to God, what you had to give up, what you had to go through to get to the place that you're in right now. And sometimes, amen, you will pay dearly, glory to God, but they wanted to just praise God. Who is Caesar? Let's see what God has to say to this faithful church. Verse number 8 description of Christ. These are the words of him who is first and the last, who died and came to life again. The city of Smyrna was the center of the emperor worship. Everyone in the city worshiped Caesar as supreme. But as Jesus comes with a message to the church, he reminds them that he alone is supreme. Oh, my God, I say the words of Isaiah 44 and 6, this is what the Lord says, Israel King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty, I am the first and I am the last. Apart from me, there is no God. Now, it wasn't very politically correct to hold to this view. In fact, it went against everything people in Smyrna said they believed. But these Christians at Smyrna were willing to put their lives on the line for the sake of truth. We live in a culture where we want to believe everyone is right. I'm right because of how I serve God. I'm right because how I want to serve God. This is a culture that we live in. I got my own way. I want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. My God, I say thank you, Jesus. Even though we might disagree, society tells us we are all right. That's society, all truth. And after all the truth, they say it's whatever you believe to be true. Our culture does not like to face up to the idea of one absolute truth. But these Christians at Smyrna were willing to give their lives to say Caesar is not God. Jesus had reminded them that he alone was the Almighty, the first and the last. He also reminded them he is the one who died and came to life again. Nobody ever died, glory to God, the way Jesus died and came back to life and able to rule the world. Nobody, glory to God, not even Caesar. Oh, my Satorobosia. To a people facing death or taking a stand, Christ encouraged them with the hope of resurrection. This life is not the end, but only the beginning. To a people who are crushed with persecution, Christ offers hope. Are we crushed today? Have you ever been crushed by God? I know I have. My God, I give him glory. Crushed with persecution, Christ offers hope. We also see here the description of Christ. Look at verse number 9, people of God. They first pressure. I know your affliction and your poverty. Jesus, he said, I know your affliction and I know your poverty, yet you are rich. The word here for affliction is really the word for pressure. They are under great pressure. They are being crushed. But lest we ever forget, pressure is not bad for us. Rather, it brings about good. But we don't like pressure. We run from pressure. Some people got feet. They start running because they don't want to go through pressure. They rather lay down the cloth than to grow most santo Holy Ghost, to go through what they have to go through. But it's a good thing when Jesus, because Jesus loves us so much that he's able to chastise us. My God, I say thank you. They are being crushed. But we ever forget pressure. Pressure ain't bad. Rather, it brings about good, he says. This is the same term that is used in Romans 5 and 3. He says, not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. Paul says we can rejoice in suffering, trials, tribulations, problems. God certainly knows that there are a lot of problems facing us. We face unemployment. The unemployment is high. Repossession is high. Glory to God. Uncertain financial times, not to mention all our personal issues that we face every day. Paul says these problems can be a source of rejoicing for us. Normally, when we face with these problems, the first response says, God, please take this away. After all, that's what Paul did. Even Jesus prayed that way. But when God chooses to leave us to face the problem, we need to change the way we look at the problem. See, you got to be a revelator in the midst of your problem. It can either be a stumbling block or a stepping stone. Don't just look to escape the problem. Look for God's grace to carry you through. So when you go through a problem, Lord, I need the grace of God upon my life to go through what I have to go through. My struggles, my problem, my adversity, my testing. God, I need grace to go through. These make us stronger. God promised he will never leave us. Oh, go my son to Holy Ghost and never give us more than we can bear. Think about the athlete in training. They run miles and miles through thousands of sit-ups, push-ups, and heavy weights. And why? To be stronger, faster, and to be at their best. These are many who say that's too hard and never work out. They rather sit in front of the TV, oh, come on, Holy Ghost, with a pop or some popcorn or candy, whatever, glory to God, and bag of chips. And in other words, we have a nation of couch potatoes. Let's be real. We talk about the children. They don't go outside and jump rope. They don't do the things that we used to do. They don't go play hide and seek no more. Everybody's on their computer. Everybody's doing other things. We just become couch potatoes. My God, I say thank you. I watch TV from the time we wake up to the time we go to bed. My God, I say thank you. Waiting for your food to be put on the table. My God, I say thank you, Jesus. We have a nation. Oh, couch potato Christians, who don't want any adversity. But when we avoid adversity, we miss out on one of the greatest blessings God could bring us. Can we get retrained today? Come on, Holy Ghost. Paul says that suffering produces perseverance. And when we go through this suffering, because some of us are still going through some things, and we have to go through with the grace of God, we learn never to give up. James says the same thing in James 1. He said, consider it pure joy, my brother, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. James says we are to consider it pure joy. The term for consider is the word that means let your mind lead you. It is inducive reason when you look at the fact, all circumstances, you come to the conclusion that every trial can be a source of joy. It all adds up to joy. My trial plus my trial plus my trial equal my joy. And that's true, because once you go through one thing, here comes something else, and here comes something else, and you ask yourself, is it ever going to end? Do I want to be sick? Do I want to lose my job? Do I want to lose my spouse? Do I want a financial reversal? Those are all the things that Jesus said that we should count it all joy, but we don't look at it that way. Oh, I'm going through. I'm by my secuda, by Santa Holy Ghost. But if you get to the right revelation, my God, I say thank when I fall into another trial that was not planning on, that caught me a sidetracker, I can still have joy. Have you ever been through something, amen, and you got a left hook at something, praise God, and you didn't see that coming, praise God, you got knocked down, but I'm here to tell you today that God will raise you up. My God, I say thank you, Jesus. What we are talking about is a joyful acceptance of what happens to you in life. Instead of blaming God and fighting against him, we seek another alternative, joy. We don't need to seek to escape from what God has allowed in our lives. Rather, we turn to him at those times. When we learn to persevere, to keep trusting God, no matter what, we develop godly character. God sometimes will crush us till we get it right. He will crush you. Glory to God. That mean spirit, he'll keep crushing you till he sees some love come out of you. He will crush you, amen, till he sees some good character come out of you. My God, I say thank you, Jesus. There's a crushing sometimes that God has to do with us because our ways are not right sometimes. We are not right sometimes. Our mind is not right sometimes. Our thinking is not right sometimes. So sometimes he has to press us harder to bring good character out of. We won't think the way we think. We won't glory to God. Sometimes, amen, even our silent thoughts are jacked up. Come on, somebody. My God, I give him glory. You've been accustomed in your own mind. So he keep crushing. How do you develop character? Don't give up when you face problems. Don't say God must not love me or he would help me. Don't say God isn't good. Don't say God doesn't hear my prayers. Keep on trusting in the goodness and the love of God. So tribulation, affliction, and suffering, and pressure produces what? Perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. When God builds character in our lives, he lives, or we live in hope. What is hope? It is the confidence that God is in control. Oh, my God. We got to get to that place. God, you in control. You in control of my health. You in control of my finances. You in control of my husband. You in control of my wife. You in control of my job. You in control, God. It is the certain that God will work on your behalf based upon who he is and what he has said. The book of Hebrews tells us we have this hope as an anchor. Here it goes, Pastor. We have this anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Scripture tells us that the pressure is good for us. It builds godly character in our lives and gives us hope. And of all the seven churches addressed, the church at Smyrna alone still exists today. Why? Their affliction, their suffering, their pressures kept them faithful. Christ said he saw their pressure. He also saw they faced poverty. I know your affliction and your poverty. Yet you are rich, he says. The word used here for poverty is a word that means they had nothing. To us here, often poverty means we drive a car, come on, that is a five-year-old car because it is not new. That's our poverty. We can't afford to eat at Red Lobster, so we go to Bob Evans. That's our poverty. We only go to the movies once a week. That's sometimes our poverty. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to his name. So here we go. These are people who have no jobs, living in trailers. They are taking money sometime out of your work, because a lot of them live in a project. Minds to pay for the big screen, the TV, and we go to work, and they just live in their life. They think that they're living, and they got the big screens and the new cars in the driveway. We don't even understand what is real poverty is all about. It means having nothing. Have we ever been to the place that we have nothing? The Christians at Smyrna, by staying true to Christ, they risk the foreclosures of all their property and possession. Yet they were willing to give it all up for the sake of obedience to Christ. Yet even though they had nothing, God saw them as rich. The church at Smyrna was destitute. They had nothing. But God saw them as rich. They had riches beyond compare. The church at Smyrna faced pressure. They faced to use the P word, if you want to, a fierce word. They faced perjury. They faced accusations of others. Verse 9 says, I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. The Jews of Smyrna was out to destroy the church. The Jews were Jewish in name only. They looked like Jews. They may have been born of Jew parents, but they really are panic. Jesus said this himself, the synagogue of Satan. It wasn't the first time he said it to supposed Jew. In John 8, the Jewish leaders were saying, you are doing the things your own father does. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. The father, the only father we have is God himself. They were attacking Jesus, claiming he was illegitimate. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and now and here. You belong to your father, the devil. See, I love what Jesus speaks. He says, you belong to your own father, the devil. You are, you, and you want to carry out your father's desire? He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. For there is no truth in him. That's the devil. That's that satanic church. When he lies, he speaks his native language. I can imagine Jesus speaking, and he was, as the world said, he wasn't no punk, y'all. He spoke. He was real. And sometimes we back up. We don't want to even tell the people the right thing. I'm a set quote, Holy Ghost. But I pray today that God, glory to God, that we will speak when it's time to speak. For he is a liar and the father of lies. You can't get any clearer than that. Now, most of us don't even enter disputes with the Jews, but the modern equivalent of that is to say that there are many in the church. There are many who profess to be Christians who really follow Satan. They don't love God. They don't follow God because they don't know God. Hey, my God, I say thank you, Jesus. They live for selfish indulgence and in their pleasures. Paul writes in Philippians 3, for as I have often told you before now, say again, even with tears, he said, many live as enemy to the cross of Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds is on earthly things, he said. Paul was speaking. Read Philippians 3. Praise God. Yes, Holy Ghost. There are many who attend church every week out of the sense of rituals. They're thinking they are meeting a merited favor, or as they live to the fulfill their own sinful passion, their lust, their desire, and they will oppose anyone who seeks to stand up for what is right, to speak the truth. The church at Smyrna faced all kinds of put down, all kinds of slander from those Jews in Austin. So will we. I know what it's like to try to pastor a church, woo, and then got to go through on the outside and go through on the inside. The ones that supposed to be for the cross, be the enemy of the cross. Oh, I could go there, but let me just shift, because I could go a whole sermon about Christ. Come on, my God, I thank you, Jesus, for the church. Amen. Praise God. The Holy Ghost. My God, I give him glory. Here in our lives, we often get discouraged for these same three things. Pressure we are under, poverty we face, and put down, we endure. But Christ offers us, and the church at Smyrna, encouragement. Christ's encouragement to the church. Look with me to verse 10. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer, I tell you. He said, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. But Jesus said, be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. Christ reminds us that we do not need to fear suffering. So often we think about all the bad things that could happen, and we turn to fear. We shrink back from following God because we get afraid, and it's just a tool of the devil. 1 John 4:18 tells us there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. When we focus on obedience to our God, we can face difficult circumstances without fear, because we are focused on the eternal and not the temporary. Luke tells us in Luke 12 and 4 tells us, I tell you, my friend, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after the killing of the body, has power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Fear God. We need to make the decision, whom will we fear? Here it goes, Pastor. Will we fear God, or will we fear man? Talking to Pastor McNeil this morning, and glory to God, and we were talking about the things of God and how we fear man more than we fear God. But God says, are you going to fear me? Praise God, the one that I can throw you in hell. Come on, somebody, are you going to fear me? We need to make a decision. Whom will we fear? The attacks and abuse of others that are trivial, or judgment of God of all creation. Jesus reminds us, the Christian at Smyrna, of what they really and reality is suffering is only temporarily. We talked last week, and glory to God, of worrying is an obsession of our circumstances. Not worry, people of God. Trust God. The opposite of trust is, or faith is looking beyond. our eternal reward. Come on, somebody, as Christians, we understand that God has rewarded us with our faithful to him in spite of circumstances. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, no eyes have seen, nor ears have heard, nor minds have conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. God's reward for faithfulness are far beyond anything that we could even imagine. Come on, Holy Ghost, we have nothing to, when we walk in obedience to God. The story is told of the early Christian church of John, praise God, yes, Holy Ghost, the emperor of glory to God of that time, amen, John, the one day that in a burst of anger, he said to his couriers, and amen, that he would be glad to be avenged of his bishop, whereupon four or five of them preferred and proferred their advice and throwed how, glory to God, of what they should done. Glory to God. The first said, he said, send him away far from exile, because he wanted to do the right thing. They was trying to tell him, praise God, what they wanted to do. And so they had their own mindset. They said, send him away far into exile, so that you may never see him again. The second said, glory to God, take his property. The third one said, cast him into prison, loaded with chains. And the fourth said, are you not supreme? Glory to God, rid yourself of him by ordering him to be put to death. My God, because he wanted to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But the fifth said, you will deceive yourself. This is not the way to punish him. If you send him in exile, the whole earth is his native land. If you take his goods, you'll take them from the glory to God, the poor, not from him. If you trust him into a dungeon, he will kiss the chains and think himself happy. If you condemn him to death, he will open heaven to him. Prince, do you wish to be avenged of him, force him to commit sin? I know him. This man fears nothing in this world but sin. As Christians, we do not need to fear the attacks of Satan. God tells the church at Smyrna, Satan will put some of them in prison to test them. Why? The word test is really the word tempt. Satan would persecute them to tempt them to sin, to get them to be afraid and turn from following God. Many times, Satan tries to get us to think about what will happen if we obey God. We think people will make fun of us. I won't be popular anymore. I'll get passed over for my promotion. I might even get fired if I tell what the boss is doing that is unethical. But we have nothing to fear when we obey God, because God always rewards faithfulness. The Bible says, Ekorobo Sando Holy Ghost. Verse 11, who? And he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. Those who overcome, to those who are faithful during the time of temptation and who do not give in to sin, God offers a reward. We face a multitude of temptations every day. Purity. We are tempted to turn from God to believing in faith or chance. Poverty. We are tempted to live for the moment of wealth and possession we can accumulate. Popularity, we are tempted to go along with the crowd. Pain, we are tempted to avoid suffering at any cost. But God's message is to focus not on our situation and circumstances, but to focus on eternal. The Bible says, and 2 Corinthians 4, Paul writes to the church at Corinthians and reminds them, therefore, we do not lose heart, for our light and momentarily troubles are achieving for us eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is only temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Today, you may be facing some difficult circumstances in your life. You're afraid of what's going to happen to you. You are tempted to cut corners and do some things that are, you know, God wouldn't be pleased. But you think it the only way out. Don't do it. Stay faithful to God, and he will reward you 1,000-fold. Even though you suffer for obeying God, be faithful so that you may get your reward internally. Don't fear the pain of suffering. Instead, fear apostasy and complacency. Let your love for God and your trust in his faithfulness carry you through. The church at Smyrna did face time of persecution 60 years after John writes this letter. Listen to about this pastor. This is a pastor. I had to dig a little bit. The pastor of a Smyrna church. 86 years old, the leader of the church at Smyrna is Bishop Polycarp, a man who was trained by John early. He was, it was the time of the public games, and the city was crowded and excited, and part of the festivity was worshiping the emperor and killing of those who would not participate in the service. When the Roman proconsul of the government was confronted with this old man, Polycarp, bishop, he wasn't sure what to do with the 86-year-old bishop. It hardly seemed so sporting to feed him to the lions, so he offered him a chance to recant, to deny Christ. He said, and I let you go free. Polycarp just looked at him. Denied Christ, he replied. 86 years have I served him, and he has done me no wrong. Oh, come on, Holy Ghost. How can I blaspheme my king who saved me? The proconsul then threatened him with a burning, and Polycarp, he replied, you threaten me with fire that burns for a time and is quickly quenched? For you do not know the fire which awaits the wicked in the judgment that come and the everlasting punishment. The proconsul was furious and again, and the act of your age and wisdom, and praise Caesar, change your mind and stay away with this atheist. And Polycarp looked and at the pagan surrounding him and waved his hands, and he replied, away with this atheist. And then Polycarp said, if you vainly expect that I will swear by Caesar, as you suggest, and pretend to be ignorant who I am, listen to what openly said to everyone here. He said, I am a Christian. If you want to learn the teaching of Christianity, name the day and hear about our beliefs. The bishop was led to the platform where the execution was to take place, and the crowd proceeded to bring wood, and Polycarp was martyred. He was killed, but God told him, Jesus told him, this is what's going to happen for him, for his faith in Christ. The Christians at Smyrna did face persecution, even death, but Christ rewarded them crown of life. Today, if your faith in Christ great enough that you would be willing to lay down your life. I'm not saying get killed, but are you willing to lay down your life rather than to deny the Savior who died for you? health. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's the church. Maybe it's persecution, but financially, maybe it's mentally, but maybe it's on your job. There is a crown awaits you, the weight of God's glory, people of God. You know, one I was watching TV, praise God, and Ella, glory to God, love this woman, praise God, yet caught up on Saya. She said, listen, my favorite scripture is Romans 8:18, and I said, oh my God, that is my favorite scripture, for I consider that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that could be revealed in us. And then Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Come on, people of God, cast down but not destroy. Paul talks about it, but we have been this treasure in earthly vessels. He said that I've been this treasure in earthly vessel, that the essence of the power may be of God and not of us. Glory to God. Yes, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in my body. The dying of my soul, the dying of me. For we who live are always delivered unto death of Jesus may also be manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. See, they was working death. Glory to God. When Paul had to preach the gospel, he was dying on the inside so somebody else can have life. They was going through so somebody else can have life, that he can preach the word of God to bring life to somebody else. So whatever you're going through, you might be bringing life to somebody else. So since we have the same spirit of faith, he said, according to what is written, he said, I believe, and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus Christ, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory. Hallelujah. Listen, people of God. He said, Romans 8:38. Now he says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angel, nor principality, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. Come on, come my sake, turn to Messiah. Hallelujah. No other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We bless and praise our God this day. I don't care what you're going through today. Hallelujah. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ to bring you through. You will sometime be persecuted and wanting to live according to God's word. Sometime, praise God, under the Messiah, you will be persecuted because you want to live for God. Persecuted for speaking against evil. Those things will take place, but don't worry about those things. Jesus got your back, and the thing about God said, he said, don't worry about what man can do for about you. And just worry about what I can do. We thank God today for this church that they stood their ground. They stood in the midst of a crooked, satanic place, a dark place, and didn't bow to Caesar. What is your Caesar? Oh, we don't bow. We stand to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'm getting ready to pray, people of God. Let me go to the little song here, praise God, and I'm coming back to pray you out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Think about the word today. Hallelujah.
All right. Y'all give it up for Sarah.
Let them use you. one day when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day.
A standing ovation already.
God, hallelujah, for the glory, hallelujah, glory to God that we have not even seen yet, glory to God, thank you, Jesus. We give God the glory this morning, amen. This is Reign of Glory, Revival Ministry, Apostle Carolyn McNeil, hallelujah, thank you, Lord Jesus. We're the pastor, amen, it's Pastor Matthew McNeil, amen, praise God, hallelujah. Don't forget, amen, on Thursday, amen. And True Vine International Ministry will be on at 6 p.m. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Pastor Ilona Waters will be on with you. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for her. Amen. Standing in the gap. Amen. Glory to God for God's people. Amen. Lifting up the name of Jesus. Amen. Glory to his name. And don't forget, my son, the Holy Ghost. On Friday morning, amen, I will be on for prayer. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you need to get in touch, amen, glory to God, for any reason, glory to God, you can reach me at 302-883-9799. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank God for the support in the ministry, amen, the ones that are supporting the ministry, glory to God, no matter how you are supporting, amen, we thank God for you, you, and you, amen. Let us pray. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, for the word today, Father God. We thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that we are persuaded on this day, Father God, that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God. We bless you today, Father God. Yes, Holy Spirit, we give you glory, Father God, and we ask, Father God, that you'll continue to have your way, God, in the lives of your people, Father God, in the name of Jesus. God, bless every household here that is represented, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Hi, my Shato Robo Sando, Holy Ghost. I ask you, Father God, for divine healing. Glory to God, the ones that's going through in their bodies, God, yet Korobo Sando. I know that distance is not a barrier, Father God. So I ask the angels of the Lord to go where they're at right now. Touch them from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, Father God, in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, that we have opened up our hearts, that we had opened up our minds to the word of God, that we will sit back and think about your churches. What can we do next for you, Jesus? Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus, what can we do for you, Lord Jesus? So we thank you, Father God, for moving by your Holy Spirit. We thank you, God, for lifting us up today. We thank you, God, for, oh, Yakoma for turning things around in our lives, God, in the name of Jesus. Bless everyone under the sound of my voice, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Now unto him that is able to keep us from feeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power. Let the church say amen, amen, and amen, and amen, and amen. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you all. Happy Sunday to everyone under the sound of my voice. And I pray that the week ahead will be a blessing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. I will leave you with a song. God bless you.
Somebody's in the fight of your life right now. Lashay Knox, tell them how to win.
This is how I fight my battles.
When you're feeling overwhelmed and under pressure.
When you're in the midst of a storm and you can't see your way out, I'm fighting my battle.
When you get that unfavorable diagnosis,
this is how you fight.
Somebody's saying it seems like trouble is all around me. Let Shay tell them it may look like.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
That's how God works.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm
what it looks like.
It may look like I'm